Welcome back to Middays with Marcus Maben, delivered by Papa John's on 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Marcus Maben.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Midday with Marcus Maben, 8150. 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. And we're over here at 1923 South 4th Street. The doors are open. The wings are on their way. The whatever you do during your lunch break on a beautiful Friday, do it here at 502 Cafe. Again, people, it's my job to be a professional. Just to let you know all the goings on. Kentucky Derby and prep races. Again, this year, ESPN Louisville is your home for the Kentucky Derby, an exclusive home of the Triple Crown. Our next Derby prep race is Saturday with the running of the Lexington Stakes. Coverage begins at 5:30 p.m. on ESPN 680, 105.7. The road to the Derby, 143, is presented by TwinSpires.com, Merkley Kendrick Jewelers, Cross Chrysler Jeep, SeatHub.com, and UPSJobs.com. Again, I'll say this too. We say this enough during the show, but I got to do it as a professional. Join ESPN Louisville as well on Saturday as we broadcast live. Steve Rummage knows a little bit about this. 11 a.m. to 12:50 p.m. Caboose, you got it, number 5. Right next to Papa John's Cardinal Stadium for the Louisville Spring Game. Steve Rummage and Adam Frohman will anchor the coverage, and it's only on 93.9 The Ville and ESPN Louisville app. Now, I said it earlier. I gave you the opportunity, people. We have two free Derby tickets right now.
Derby
Festival. Derby Festival. I'm sorry. Derby Festival basketball tickets. First order over $20. You and your friend are listen, the food is very good and it's very inexpensive. $20 order. The tickets are yours.
And the tickets are really, really good.
Steve, go ahead and tell them that you almost refused to advertise because what?
Listen,
Steve starts throwing around his weight and said, we're not giving away any trash tickets, are we? Unless these tickets are in the front row, I mean, I'm not giving away on the show. Steve, they're row A. What is it? A?
A. Just put it this way. There's an A involved.
Right.
And if it's an A, it's a good seat.
Right. Point being, we will give those away first. $20 order.
All four Louisville recruits, the signees, are going to be in it.
They will be there.
And even then, there's a Kentucky signee that's liable to be ranked number one before the end of the
And Steve, shame on you for saying they look good in practice already.
I know. I got excited. I've seen them. I'm like, oh, dude, you see them? They run a pick and roll on air and can dunk.
They have a couple of clips, people, if you've been scouring the internet at all. Just the guys kind of warming up a little bit.
Now, I am going to correct this a little bit, and I think you can see a difference. I did like what I seen when you see, even running on air, when you see a Malik Williams and a Lance Thomas, two things I seen last night out of them. The way they dunk it, it's not on layup air guys. But it's just bam.
They're not. Like, and Steve is dunking. He's dunking in the restaurant.
People. It ain't just get it and, it isn't that.
It's not the smooth, the long, smooth dunk that Honest does.
Yeah, it's not that. Right. Yeah, it's intense. It's impact. I like it, man.
Yeah, right. Like they're in prove mode.
Malik Williams will be in the three-point shootout tonight, too.
Malik Williams, 6'10", Malik Williams. Yeah. Probably 6'11" now. Yeah. Will be in the three-point shootout. People, you'll enjoy this. He has a very smooth-looking shot.
And the two-on-two tonight. I mean, yeah.
No, he's saying Steve's on.
Oh, okay. No, right. No. Like, so, okay. Yeah, Brian is speaking.
Two-on-two.
Two-on-two. So – tonight,
Ebo, 2-on-2. Listen, and I say this all the time. And if you heard me before, you know I have the best story. The 2-on-2, where you put Marcus Maben and I think Brindley Wright was his name, or big man Marcus Maben and big man against Hogan and Michael Bradley for Kentucky. They put us in a 2-on-2 matchup.
Yeah,
Steve, I was playing for my freedom.
Those get intense.
The Kobe.
Yeah.
You remember how intense Kobe was with the Colorado thing, and everybody was like, Kobe's actually playing like he's trying to stay out of prison.
Yeah.
That's how I felt. That's how I felt. That's how much it mattered. You cannot lose to two Kentucky players, even though it was just one Louisville guy. It was like you're our
And that's why I may make the trip over to IU Southeast tonight, because I love that environment.
We got any hookups with IU Southeast?
I mean, you probably do.
If we got hookups to IU Southeast, 8150.
Is it Wiley Brown, the coach?
93.9 is the number. You should extend.
Marcus, we do have Wiley Brown's number if you ever want to have him on.
I'm so mad at Wiley Brown. I've been trying to get Wiley Brown on this show since I had the show. Wiley Brown, call me. You got my number, too. Don't make me track you down, Wiley. Point being, maybe, yeah. Steve. Maybe.
It's possible that we make an appearance tonight. So I'll just throw that out there.
Did you hear that third, yeah. that third person sounding?
Yeah,
we
yeah.
might make an appearance, Steve. But
because I like the intensity that comes tonight in the gym. So it's pretty cool. So anyways, though, get out here, 502 Cafe. The first $20 order gets the tickets. And trust me, the tickets have an A on them. So.
Right. So
well, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, well, let's get back to the – oh, do we still got Jerry on the phone? Are we Jerry and Steve, or we just Steve? Brian Hall, did I lose you? Brian Hall's a busy man back in the studio.
He's a busy man.
Sorry, I was on the phone. I do have an update on the y'all were talking about the events tonight, the dunk contest the three-point contest. It's a free event, and you can purchase a derby pin there, which I think you might have to have a derby pin to get in.
Okay.
So where's our derby pins at?
I don't know. I mean, they're like
$5,
Marcus,
man. We have credentials.
Oh, never mind then. So Brian, while you were on the phone, we were asking, Sorry. Do we have Steve on the line? Do we have Jerry on the line?
No, we got Steve on the line. Steve, what's on your mind, man?
Steve, what's on your mind?
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Good.
Hey, what time does the event start tonight over at IU Southeast?
I believe 7.
Normally 7?
Normally 7. 7 or 7:30. Brian Hall, get that for us. He's back in the booth, man. Let's make Brian Hall do it.
Right. Like, we're out here where there's wings and flowing beers,
all right, give
and
me one
cocktails
second.
And lunchtime things. We are out at 502 Cafe. But do you want to put a bow on the conversation we had earlier? Because even we continued this conversation during the break,
yeah.
having context, having sound. 8150, 93.9 is the number. What did the sound make you think about the nature of that meeting?
Well, and just to kind of put a bow on it here, we said
the bow on this part of it.
The bow on this part of it, yeah. We said, like we were talking earlier, we were talking a little bit during the break. Look, it's one thing. I understand that there are aspects of business that go across an entire platform.
Yes.
That can be applicable to any whatever you do.
Yes.
But then there's a big difference in what you've done as a mogul here and what Tom Jurich has done here. I'm okay with you bringing suggestions to the table.
That's why you were hired, or that's why you were asked.
That's why you're asked to be on the board.
For ideas.
But when you bring suggestions with that attitude in front of the media, to me, that's overstepping something.
Yes.
And that's where I think my problem's going to lie with
right,
this.
Right, the uncomfortableness of that one.
Yeah.
And again, I try to psychoanalyze it as a person who's on a board as opposed to the head of the board. Like, you're not the president of this one. You know, you're not the university president. There are people in this room who don't make as much money as you, but they have more influence over how things, you know, get done, how money is spent. And I think within the confines of that conversation, when you repeat invisible to the media, prudence, it's crazy when you say words
yeah.
like crazy. You can't say words like Steve, you ever been in a relationship where you know that you can't say the word crazy?
Yes, I'm
like, you can't say you just can't say that word. People like, take my advice, never use the word crazy or stupid, or you know, or just, you know, because we're talking about, though, nobody in this room is crazy. Nobody in this room is not a smart person. So when you use those words, that's when, you know, that's when I say that's a lack of savviness.
No, I agree.
Company business savviness.
I agree 100%. That's why I think even what we've seen was so, maybe, I don't know if out of character, because I don't know
right.
Papa John that well, but it seemed
that well.
The way, yeah, that well.
Right.
The way people were taken back by it, it seemed
yes,
a little out of character.
Everybody was obviously uncomfortable and in damage control during a meeting.
Yeah.
The one thing you do not want is people inside of a boardroom or board meeting going into damage control because what they say to you in a board meeting gets, you know, and not in a – the reason you have release statements from what was covered in today's notes and today's
right.
meetings, you do that for a particular reason. So you basically circumvented all the, you know, all the chairman, all the president, the way this board is put together. You've already circumvented the process and brought in public opinion
yes.
and public confusion. Brian, do we got that last clip of the conversation? There was this the stadium part of it. There was
yeah, we got the parking left.
Okay. Go ahead with that one if you got it.
Well, who parks the cars? Who parks the cars? Who takes the parking spots?
Well, it's self parking. There's students and faculty and staff who pay.
But why would you want to make profit on parking with your students?
We don't want to make a profit on it, but we're losing about $2 million a year on parking.
What's your point?
The
students. We're here for the students. Why wouldn't? Who cares if we lose $2 million a year on parking? At least they got a place to park. I mean, when you're a 19-year-old, a 20-year-old kid, and you don't have $5 for a parking spot, why would you want to make $7? Why would you want to hurt them? Help me out here, David. I mean, Brian, jump in here, but I would not make money on the students on parking. I would tell them, listen, it costs $2 million a year for you guys to park. Okay, what's your point?
The bulk of the parking spaces are used by faculty and staff. And this is why the board has a chance to vote on budgets. These are just ideas,
yeah.
Okay? These are just things that are being researched at this point. And the suggestions that will come forward on parking are a byproduct of this.
I have no problem losing money on faculty and staff and students on parking. I have no problem with that. I mean, that's the way it should be. We're here to serve the kids. We're here to serve the faculty. Why would we want to make a profit on parking with the kids? Am I missing something here? Somebody else want to?
John, I think this is a whole long list of opportunities that the administration is exploring. Parking is one of them because, you know, it's either now or potentially a revenue source. So let's let the administration look at it. Right. We're going to have the opportunity to go up or down. There's going to be some things that we're not going to be comfortable with, and we're just going to say to Greg, you know, nada on that one. But let's let them go through the drill and see what that produces and if it's meaningful or not.
Right. What we want to present is a menu of options.
That was
right?
the word I was
and,
looking
you know,
for.
At the end of the day, the board has to approve the budget, and so there'll be good ideas and bad ideas, and we're just trying to understand the whole universe of options.
I'd lose $4 million a year. I would make sure the kids got a cheap place to park. I have a restaurant 1,000 feet away from here. Last month, the manager of the store bonus was $9,000. You have to take care of the people that do the heavy lifting. You have to take care of the little people, the common folk that wake up every day and make our country great. I would say, instead of losing $2 million, I'd lose $4 million and let the kids park for free. That's what I would do. So just
we're gonna have a shot.
All right.
We're gonna have John.
All right. I'll get off of it.
John, what'd you have for lunch? Really hot.
Brian Hall, I'm sorry for what I did. I know you work hard. I know you're a professional. Steve and then myself could just not take it anymore. Steve Rummage, I have not only changed my opinion, but my terror threat alert level, you know, my internal level just skyrocketed listening to that last part. I put that part of the conversation, that clip in the conversation in the back. I heard it, but I didn't really hear it. But that time, I really heard it. And if you're listening to Midday with Marcus Maben, you heard it too. You heard a man say, why should we be charging students for parking? Like, you heard the can you believe that was from the blueprint of 1965 political office? The little people are what matters. My guy's got a $9,000 Christmas bonus, and we need to take care of those people first. All he's missing is the three finger, you know, point, the posturing. That was a political speech.
Yeah.
That was a blatant, the little people, and I'd lose $4 million. Why would we charge students for parking? Every university charges students for parking.
Yeah.
You're not doing that to make money. You're doing that to pay for stuff that you already have.
We both said at the same time, as we're listening to that's political. And I don't know if it's presidential political, like you want to be the president of the University of Louisville.
Right.
I mean,
you want people to like you.
Yeah.
You know, like the little people.
Right.
Steve.
Yeah.
He used every cliche politician phrase that you've seen in any movie. Like you see it in Batman and Gotham.
The people that make America great again.
Oh. Steve, he said that make 81-50-93-9 is the number.
Yeah.
What did you get out of that? Because, again, I got political speech. I got – not only did I get political speech,
yeah,
I got political satire. So much so that I would say, hey, John – when you get on in front of those cameras today, you know, we have our 5-year plan of you being, you know, of you being whatever his goal is.
Yeah, yeah.
I would have wrote a speech for him, and it would have said exactly what he said. John, if you want to be a politician, here's what I need you to say. I need you to say, I would never charge students.
Yeah.
I would never charge students for parking. I'd rather lose $4 million. Then make students pay for parking. I'm going to do the things to make this university great.
Yeah.
I give bonuses even when my employees don't deserve. My restaurant is 1,000 feet away from here. Make it personal. Make it feel like you can relate to the little people and you're not the billionaire guy. But remind everybody that that's your stadium.
The picture becomes more clear as you hear more and more. I think that's fair to say.
I don't think I can add much to that. Again, 81-50-93-9. Feel free to add on. We're going to take a quick commercial break. On the other end, we're going to talk about this football point, this groundbreaking football discovery. There was an interview this morning on the Drew Diener Show. It had Kobe Smith. With Day Williams going down, Kobe Smith, offensive guy. You're looking forward to a running game coming out of the University of Louisville. We wondered about how much running game you will see. Some breaking news and people. You remember 2 years ago? Your boy said it right here. This Lamar Jackson kid is going to be the front runner of the Heisman. Oh, Marcus, you're crazy. Marcus, he started 1.5 games. There's no way he can be a Heisman Trophy winner. You remember that, Steve?
I remember that.
Your boy Maben tried to tell y'all, and I said that on purpose. He tried to tell y'all in the third person. I got another one for you. Stick around. Midday with Marcus Maben, 81-50. 93.9 is the number on 93.9 DeVille.
Welcome back to Middays with Marcus Maben, delivered by Papa John's on 93.9 DeVille. Now, here's Marcus Maben.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Midday with Marcus Maben. 81-50. 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. We're rolling right along. I got to tell you, people, sometimes I look at Steve and I'm wondering if he's gaming. I wonder if he's gaming. And if he's not gaming, I'm sure he's on Zucker. I'm telling you, he's found out about the Zucker thing. He should tell you people about it. I'm supposed to tell you about it because it's my job to actually tell you. But I'll tell you, if you continue to play Zucker, that's Xooker, play the Derby theme memory game on the Zucker app. Prize packages include, actually, every time you play is another entry to win. 2 tickets, Kentucky Oaks, Steaks Room Balcony, 2 tickets to Kentucky Derby, Finish Line Suites Balcony, 3-night stay at the Galt House, 2 tickets to Phillies and Lilies Party, semi-private transportation on Kentucky Oaks Derby Days, paddock tour on Kentucky Oaks Day, 16,000 racks. Steve, do you know what racks are?
I do, yeah.
Well, you can, listen, You can win prizes up to 16,000 racks worth of prizes.
That's a lot. That's a lot of prizes.
That's a whole lot. All you have to do is go to Zucker and play. You get these entries for free.
Yeah.
So, oh, we got Lawrence on the line. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
Lawrence, thanks for joining us on Midday with Marcus Maben. What's on your mind?
What's up, guys? Sure. Y'all talking about these incoming guys coming in from Louisville. Can they really push these guys on the team right now? Make them want to play better? Make them actually want to dunk the ball? Like, is Perry going to be the guy to push on Quinn Snyder to be a better player next season?
He's going to push him.
He will push him.
He definitely pushed him. I appreciate the call, Lawrence. Who's on the line next? Joe. Sorry, Joe. Thanks for joining us on 93.9. What's on your mind?
Hey, Marcus. What's going on, brother?
Nothing much at all.
Hey, man, I was wanting to talk about that Tom Jurek and Papa John Snyder, man.
I'm listening.
You know, if it walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, and looks like a duck, it has to be a duck.
I was gonna say it can't be a mongoose.
Yeah. An elephant, the pun is intended.
This
is something, you know, he's been wanting to do, you know, a power move because he, you know, now he has that you know, he's like a guy, you know what you were talking about earlier. Man, I got the basketball. Now, you know, if you don't want to play my game, I wanna take my ball away.
Right.
You know. Or but I'm the one that choose you to play in the game. I'm the captain. You know?
Right.
You know.
Yeah, yeah.
And now he wants to, you know, he wants to cut off the head, you know, that you know, he's putting his money involved with. But it seems like it's a political situation that's going on. Because I remember I don't like to get into politics. I really don't. But if you think about it, he was really upset, Papa John, when President Obama was the president. And he was talking about cutting the money he has to cut back to help the little people that he's talking about
keep
it, now.
Keep it centric on this situation. In what way do you think it's political here?
Well, it seems like the political world, it's almost, I hate to say this, it's almost like the governor had on blue at the tournament, and now he's with the guy that's governor attacking U of L. You know, it's almost like, you know, U of L is under attack, and we don't even realize that they're trying to pull everything off from underneath of us as far as because they're seeing how U of L is growing.
Listen, Joe, I appreciate the call. I will actually add in this element to this conversation. You notice how poor people don't get sued? Nobody cares about your money, your finances until you become the number one. Then somebody comes from the outside and decides, the way you spend your money is not right. The way, you know, and even if you're not involved in the direct finances or you just have too much money in your pot and I want some. That's what it almost outside of political to me. I think it's we want influence. If you're making this much money, if you're on this Forbes list every time how much money you're making, I want in.
Yeah.
I am the governor, the mayor, the city councilman. I want in on the way you spend this money. And the only way to do that is to destabilize the athletic department because the athletic department is the crux of this money, of the financial institution that is University of Louisville. I said financial institution. You want me to say academic institution, I will. The financial institution that is the University of Louisville.
Yeah.
Eric, thanks for joining me on Midday with Marcus Maben. What's on your mind?
Guys, hearing all of those clips, I mean, I had read them, but actually hearing the clips mixed with what the governor did with the board, there is a witch hunt out on the University of Louisville right now out of, I don't know if it's just the governor's office.
So who's the witch?
I'm assuming the athletic department, the Tom Zurich and different ones, I'm assuming that's who they want to get to. I think they're just jealous, to be completely honest. I know Bevin's a BBN guy and all this stuff. I believe they're just jealous. And as far as Papa John saying it's his, the University of Louisville put that stadium up because the people of Louisville love this university and put forth money to get it built. We don't get the state funds to do everything. We put forth our money because we love this team, we love this school, and it is part of us, the city of Louisville. And That's just the way it is. He can, if he don't like it, he can take his ball and leave. As far as I'm concerned.
No, he's trying to take his ball and leave, and I appreciate the call. And happy birthday, Eric, by the way. Let's just throw that out there. It's Eric's birthday, everybody. He's a day one-er, but I will say, destabilization seems to be more the plan. Not to oust someone,
yeah,
but to destabilize, to allow more influence to be ramrodded or into the university.
No, I agree 100%. And I want to tag on too real quick with the I know we're jumping around a little bit here, but the Future Stars thing tonight's at 7 o'clock, IU Southeast. You get it. Admission is free with a ticket to the game tomorrow or with the Derby pin.
The admission, say that one more time.
If you bought a ticket, admission is free with a ticket to the game tomorrow night.
Uh-huh.
So a ticket to the game tomorrow night gets you in free tonight or a Derby pin.
Well, how much does it cost if I just show up tonight?
You got to buy a ticket to the game tomorrow.
8150, 93.9.
And I like the call before Eric, too. It gave me a good idea. We're going to do a show on next week, and everybody's got to tell who they voted for president.
Nice and easy. Nice and clean. Best radio you'll have. Everybody announce who you voted for before we listen to your opinions.
Yes.
So to make your opinions completely invalid.
Awesome. Oh, that'd be good.
Hey, no. So Brian has been sitting on this interview. We promised to play it because my Lamar Jackson-esque prediction is going to come out of this interview. Stick around. Stay tight. It's a pretty short interview, but it's a good, informative interview. Yep. Brian, you want to take it away?
All right. Well, we will get back to calls in just a little bit. But again, the spring game is coming your way tomorrow, and it's getting. We'll have, by the way, coverage starting at 11 o'clock. Frohman will be in the house. I think Steve Rummage is going to be in the house over there tomorrow, helping us get all ready for spring football. And we're kind enough to be joined by Colby Smith, assistant coach for the Cards, who is on the line with us right now. Colby, welcome in and good morning. Thanks for the time.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
We're doing well. Are you guys just about sick of practicing and ready for a game tomorrow or what, man?
Yes, I am ready to play.
What is the thing that you get accomplished, that you have seen get accomplished here this spring, particularly? Let's just take your unit in particular, the running backs.
Right.
What do you think has been accomplished here this spring?
You know, before injuries, I thought Dave Williams was coming along very, very well. He's really developing into a real good power back, getting those tough yardage through the between the tackles. Jeremy was doing a great job because those guys had never really been in a starting role per se. So I was excited about that. But with those injuries, you know, since then. Trey Smith has done a good job of developing, and Reggie's looked good being the running back as well.
What does the loss of Williams mean? I mean, as you say, he was looking great. It's got to be tough when you see a guy developing like that.
Right. You know, it's real tough because you, throughout the whole winter process, you're game planning for how you're going to get him the ball. You know, you game plan, and then we put that game plan into process. And so once he has the injury, you now got to go back to the drawing boards and, you know, refigure out how we're going to divide the ball and get it to all our playmakers. So that's why we're excited about the young freshmen coming in this summer.
Well, do you have a depth chart coming out of spring or going into spring at your position?
Yes, we always have a depth chart. You know, even with injuries, you just you go back through the managing process and you move guys up.
So who is the top of the depth chart at running back right now then?
Reggie Bonifant.
Really? I mean, that's definitely his position. Is that going to be more solidified than it sounds like this year rather than – I mean, sure, he can catch the ball, but is he – it seems like we've been trying to figure out what his role is going to be. He is clearly a running back now, it sounds like.
Yes, sir.
Huh. When did what is for him? Why is he better at that than say I don't know another position? What do you like about him in the backfield?
I just like his overall mentality. You know, his will to help the team in any position and in any role. And you know, he'll still play running back, receiver. You know, he still will play both positions.
Coach, this is Mike. Colin Wilson coming
doing,
in
Mike?
From Florida. Good, good. Yes, what are you expecting out of him? I mean, it's a true freshman. We know he's got
right.
a lot of talent, but
right.
you know, it's a lot to throw a college game at a freshman.
No, it's not. I did it.
Good answer.
You're right. Yeah, it's right. Special guy to say that.
I mean, he's just got to. We're expecting him to come in and compete right away for playing time. He can compete for the starter position. This is a guy I've been recruiting for 3 years. I recruited for 3 years since he was a sophomore. You know, we've been doing a good job with communication since signing day of teaching him the offense and what we do at the running back position, understanding the terms and the glossary of words that we use. So, you know, he has a head start in just knowing the information. Now he has to go out and apply it.
Colby Smith with us here on Ninth Round of the Villa, ESPN 680. It is running back, since you did it. I guess the answer to this is going to be yes, but is that the position that a high school player can come in and make the most easiest transition on the football field?
Not in our system, no. No. No, I mean, we have a pro-style offense, so it does take a lot of sacrifice and time on the player to learn what we do offensively, because we have multiple run concepts, multiple drop back pass protections, multiple play action protections, and things like that. So it's not hard to learn, but you have to put the time in to learn it.
So how'd you do it?
How did I do it? I studied.
Yeah.
I studied, you know, Coach was get on the phone with me and just teach me the information. I'll write it down and I'll go out on my own and practice it. And then once I came in, you know, I just competed, and Coach saw it in me that he would allow me to start at the fullback position, which is I enjoy it because it allowed me to learn the blocking scheme from the inside out, basically.
Colby Smith with us here, ninth round of the Villa, ESPN 680. So the offense that you played in versus the offense now, how different are there any differences? Some differences? How would you term it?
We're in the quarterback isn't under the center as much, and we do no huddle. You know, when I played, it was more huddle the offense, and then let's get it rolling. Now,
yeah.
Is sometimes we have hurry up where we just go fast. You know, we really didn't do that when I was here. So, but
you know, like everybody does that.
Football has evolved. Yeah,
that's
the evolution of football.
Yeah, why do you think that is the thing right now? I mean, there was a time, you know, I mean, the Bills and the K-Gun back when I was growing up, Thurman Thomas, they were doing that stuff, but they didn't really
right.
trickle down to the college ranks. Why is it now that's almost the norm right now, right?
Yeah, because it starts at the grassroots level. You know, that's what they're doing in high school. And so that's what kids are accustomed to. And so that has had an effect in college and pro ball.
Coach, what do you think? You know, obviously, Day Williams, the fans were getting real excited about him. And with him being out, it seems like that's the most important position right now to help Lamar, you know, to try to get him from not running the ball quite as much. Jeremy Smith, is he going to factor in? How has he been doing? I know he was a little banged up on and off last year.
Jeremy's been doing a good job. He's always done a good job. Like I said, it was all about developing him into that starting role so that he can be ready to go from the first quarter to the fourth quarter.
Well, what will you look for tomorrow out there? I mean, if fans want to know, you know, keep an eye on something as they're coming out to the game at 1 o'clock over there. If they're looking at running backs, what will be a good sign for them from, you know, something you're looking for, something fans can look for tomorrow out of these guys?
I'm looking for big plays out of my backs. You know, I want to see those guys go out and make long runs every single series that they're out there. You know, catch the ball out of the backfield and pick up blitzes. I just want them to be productive and got to have big plays, you know, so we can call less plays to score touchdowns.
Yeah. All right. Well, Colby, hey, enjoy it tomorrow. Thanks so much for the time here this morning, and we appreciate it.
All right. Thanks.
Welcome back to Midday with Marcus Maben, 8150-939. That's 8150-939 is the number, 939 is the station. What did you get out of it? Because I got to be honest. Sometimes I get a little attention deficit-ish with these. Sometimes I have a question that I want answered, and once I get my question answered, I bail. So not that it wasn't a good interview. Drew Diener is the best at what he does, but I'm telling you, when I got my answer, I bailed.
That's fair. I mean, I think that we've set this one off the narrative, and sometimes I'm not going to go fully, and I'm going to let you take this, but sometimes injuries, they're never a good thing. They're never a good thing. But sometimes
theoretically,
but sometimes, because I think Day Williams is going to be an absolute stud.
Right. It's very unfortunate that he took that injury.
But sometimes an injury will cause someone to have to step up in a position.
We saw it. Donovan Mitchell at the point. We saw it in suspensions. Quinn Snyder at the point. You see greatness off the Tom Brady. Every time a major injury, Dalvin Cook's the Geis. Brandon Geis is Brandon, LSU running back.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
Yeah, you know Geis, number five.
No, I know who he is. I know who he is.
Did you want to forget about him naturally? Yeah. Okay, but you get the point, people. And here you have it. And here you have your moment where your entire franchise changes. Your entire next season has just been changed for the better. And it's not because it's a good thing that Day Williams got hurt. It's a good thing because Reggie Bonifon has found a home. Not only has Reggie Bonifon found a home, Reggie Bonifon is going to be a stud at the running back position. Reggie Bonifon is going to skyrocket up the boards for so many reasons. You know, whenever you have a tall running back, that used to be a fear. That used to be the stay away from the tall running back upright. But when you got a good one, boy, do they move up the charts fast, right? Reggie Bonifon is going to be like Jalen Hurd, who doesn't try to run over people, right? Jalen Hurd had so many opportunities for big plays, and this is me talking about Tennessee. I watched him. I watched him up close. Reggie Bonifon is that level athlete. Speed, size, agility, basketball player type feet, and people. We talked about having to pass to get 3 yards. You will never have to deal with that again. Steve, Reggie Bonifon is 6'3". Reggie Bonifon is going to be your short yardage guy. That long gone are the days where you need the short power, power bowling ball guy, Maurice Jones-Drew. No, you need guys in an open who can slither yards, and 5'8" falling forward is a huge difference between 6'3" falling forward. Long arms, you will never lose short yardage situations with Reggie Bonifon, and he has explosive speed. Steve, when I thought about him being the starting running back, one guy popped in my head, and I couldn't think of any other guy. We just saw him. We just played against him this year. Wayne Gallman, LSU.
Clemson. Yeah.
That tall running back, people, who you put out on the wing, and he ran those screen plays. That guy you knew that was capable of hitting it big every time. We are one step behind Clemson in every position, but this is going to be the leapfrog. Having a Reggie Bonifon level talent on your field, and mostly at the running back position. I'm telling you, get ready, get your popcorn, buckle up. He is going to be an absolute beast.
Let me back you up just a touch.
Oh, no, don't back me up, Steve.
Because it is...
Oh, you mean back me up?
Yeah, 6'1", 218 pounds. That's player A. 6'1",
right?
218 pounds,
right?
Player A. 6'3", 208 pounds. That's player B. Player A, or player B, is obviously Reggie Bonifant. 6 foot three, 208.
Faster.
Player A, 6'1", 218, Adrian Peterson. That's the type. So when you say maybe Reggie don't, and I'm not comparing, God knows, I'm not saying he's as good as Adrian Peterson yet.
Right.
But I'm saying when you say you can't compare Reggie can't translate to running back, he's 2 inches taller than Adrian Peterson, 9 pounds lighter.
Maybe faster. And here's the thing, people. Less mileage and more motivated.
Reggie would have had one of the highest verticals at the NBA combine last year.
That says explosion, yeah. People. The reason they measure your explosion, your jump, is because not because they want to see you jump over a line at the goal line. Although you have a new option at the goal line. You have a guy that can jump over a pile, which is funny because I always say, why don't guys just jump over the pile more often? Which is ridiculous to me. Like,
yeah, just jump over.
Right. That's why the Lamar Jackson thing wasn't so impressive to me. I'm like, why don't you do that all the time?
Yeah, just jump over him.
Yeah. If he's in your way and the goal line's right there, jump over the guy. You only have to jump about 5-6 feet. Like, come on. Like, anybody got a problem with that? So point being, people, this is a goal line and an explosive guy.
Yeah.
And when I say explosive, explosive with wiggle, with actual wiggle, athleticism.
Yeah.
And when I say motivated, everyone on this team knows he is probably the top three athletes on the entire team. Can you imagine being around a person like Reggie Bonifant every day of your practice, knowing he's better than you at your position, but because he didn't have a true position, he's kind of out in the mix. You know how many people are going to block, like their life depended on it, for a leader like Reggie Bonifant? He can grab somebody's collar and say, I need these 3 yards out of you. He is a senior.
Yeah.
He is a guy who sacrificed the quarterback. He sacrificed wide receiver, running back, all that is and he's local.
Yeah.
And he's a local kid. Everyone knows his story. Everyone knows his leadership, the person he is. This is where championship football is made.
Yeah.
With a injury and a guy who's been waiting for his opportunity, who's more motivated than any other human. Watch when these NFL scouts get a hold of him at that running back position. And he has low mileage. He has no injury history.
See, that's what I was about to say. If what you say, and I'm all for it because I've been screaming for the last year, I don't know, I think Reggie coming out of the backfield would be good. Now, I don't know if I was fully on board with starting running back, but I think you're winning me over with that. But 1 year mileage at running back? I don't
1 year mileage.
I'm really interested.
Out of running back. I mean, think about that. Think about it. The more you hear, the reason Alvin Kamara moved up the boards, right?
Yeah.
Is because he had no mileage.
No mileage, man.
He went to Alabama, you know, JUCO.
Yeah.
Came to Tennessee. Didn't even play most of the year until the last 4 or 5 games.
Yeah.
No mileage, explosive with wiggle, and can catch. And listen, when you're his size, you're a better blocker naturally.
Yeah.
You're a, you know, when they look for linemen, they look for long arms and what they say, dancing bears and things like that. Nobody will bull over somebody the size of Reggie Bonifant. So you talk about Reggie Bonifant is like having an extra tight end.
Man.
His size and athleticism and length alone will keep Lamar Jackson clean. And he's a weapon.
Yeah.
I know it sounds so simple. Off the back end of an injury, but the fact that, you know, that other people might have been better in a particular skill, and that's the problem. He wasn't winning the position battle at the particular skill spot, but overall, the Swiss Army knife that is Reggie Bonifant is going to be like, he's that guy on your team. He's that rebounder, you know, rebounder, passer. He's the Draymond Green that makes, you know, the Warriors different from everybody else.
Right.
Reggie Bonifant, being able to put him at running back is a difference maker.
I'm with you. I'm with you on this one, man. I think,
and I'm sure he put on weight. I'm sure he put on either weight or functional strength in offseason. Watch his biceps and look at his butt.
I'm really.
Steve, look at his butt. Don't hide from this conversation.
I'm not. I'll check
you
it out
will.
Tomorrow.
Mrs. Rummage will come look at the butt.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I'm so excited though to see him.
The people, if you're not familiar with the joke, that's an inside joke,
obviously,
or the listener's joke.
Yes. I'm really excited to get out to the spring game tomorrow and see him because he's going to get bulk of the carries, and it's going to be interesting to see if you know. if is the story tomorrow going to be Lamar is going to look great. He's going to throw for a lot of yards. But is the story tomorrow going to be Reggie Bonifant, 100-some yards rushing? It could be easily.
And I will say this, because we are people of aesthetics as well.
Yeah.
Lamar Jackson, he's brought eyeballs to the screen. A 6'3 running back and a 6'2 quarterback at Louisville is going to look awkward. It's going to look so awkward, like it's going to make you respect this team just because it's like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
Like, what? Something. And then when you add in 6'3 wide receiver, 6'4 wide receiver, when you have 8 playmakers on a field and 1 Travion Samuels or something like that, you're going to say, hey, I don't know about this team. When your running back is as big as your lineman,
yeah,
it does something to the opponent.
Yeah.
It does something to the people who are ranking you, who are valuing you. We thought we didn't have a chance of being respected in the ranking. Yeah. Until you stick a 6'3 running back in the backfield.
No, I agree 100%. I think that is now moved up. I think with the interview this morning and with hearing what we've heard, I think that's moved up on people's list tomorrow of what they want to watch for.
People, let's do some house cleaning now. I'm at 502 Cafe. I know you can hear it. I know you rode this ride with us. You went from hearing the tables and chairs being set down to the actual energy that is in this place. It's almost packed right now. It is almost absolutely packed. Not packed. There's still plenty of room, but now you can smell the food. Now you can smell the energy. Now the scenery is getting better. My man, Patty Ice, has brought the tickets. We have the tickets, and we are going to comfortably give them away here shortly. Appreciate that. Appreciate that. But 502 Cafe, it's a beautiful day outside. Get over here. The windows are all open. You can sit outside on the patio, on the sidewalk. Come in. I noticed that the drinks have a certain tint to them that make them look tasty. They have a little bit of foam at the top. They look very cold and very tasty.
And our guy Robert Koch won them. He won
Robert
the tickets.
Robert Koch, congratulations. Absolutely. And he actually bought us lunch.
Yep.
Nice.
Which we're going to eat.
Nice. Which we will be eating. As always, take a time out. You listen to the commercial. Call Restarting Futures as well. I got to say that. If you're in trouble this weekend, call Derwin Webb. I got to tell you. Or if you're not in trouble and you just need a little bit of advice, call Derwin Webb. Call Restarting Futures. Come to 502 Cafe, 1923 South 4th Street. Steve.
Listen to us tomorrow at 11.
Good luck tomorrow, Steve.
Yeah, man.
Have a blast. And you say you're taking that one spot tomorrow, Steve. You're going to be the host.
You're doing my thing, man.
Of the pregame show. Steve, take us out.
Yeah, that's it, man. Tune in tomorrow, 93.9 The Ville.